everybody. Welcome back to The Soul here on MontanaRadio.net. And I want you guys to know that I am here, Danielle Agnew, with your co-host and Roy Pack, coming at you live. And Roy, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. Just had a nap.
You did?
Wonderful dreamland where you guys are doing your show.
That's,
it was interesting.
Really? That is most fabulous. Wow. Well, that's cool. I'm glad you had a nap. So Marcia was on there. She was actually lovely. We were having all kinds of discussions about earth energies, Roy. And I was hoping that people would have some questions about earth energies. So what I'm going to do is carry over the question of earth energies actually over here to our show. Guys, of course, this is Roy Pack. I'm Danielle Agnew. You're listening to The Soul here at mtradio.net. And this is a caller-driven show. So as we set this next topic up, which is all about earth energies and what to expect out of them, I want you to keep some questions in mind to be able to call us at area code 406-545-4496, option one. Roy, you are a Lakota pipe carrier.
Yes.
And can you tell our listeners what that means?
Oh, man. That's an expensive question.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
Boy, I don't even know. Do we have enough time?
can you give us a bullet point on what that means?
There's a lot of things to it, and it's about connection. It's about connection with the earth. It's about just the way the pipe that Chinupa is made represents the man and the woman, and the connection there, the stone, the wood on it. The two things that come from the earth, the stone is from the grandfathers, the oldest, most ancient thing there is that have all the knowledge. And then the wood is from the trees that grows on Mother Earth, on the back, they're the hair on the back of Mother Earth. And I mean, there's so much more to it that it just keeps going and going and going on with that. But, you know, in relevance to what that would be, say in Christianity, it would be like a priest or a pastor or somebody like that. Would be the comparative person, you know, so that's kind of what it means.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing. And not many people actually are a Lakota pipe carrier. That's quite an honor.
It means, in short, that I get to pray for other people.
Which is awesome.
I don't get to pray for myself much anymore.
I'll pray for you. I'm not carrying a pipe, but I'll pray for you, right?
It's for the people. It's for the people. And it definitely is. Yeah, I was listening to the show. I was kind of disappointed that she didn't sing. I love hearing her sing.
I know. You know, I was going to ask her to sing and I thought, oh God, should I really stick her on the spot like that? I was really going to ask her to do it. And I thought, well, you know, that's all right. I'm going to have her back.
You're much nicer to me. I'd have put her on the spot and have her do it. I definitely would. And for the topic tonight about the earth and
yes.
The energy, and I want to share a little story. I spent the whole summer camping out with my 7-year-old daughter and guiding rafts out on the river, guiding whitewater rafts, and we camped out and slept on the ground. And I've always slept very differently when I'm on the ground. And she's the same way. I mean, when we're in a bed, we toss and turn, and I wake up in the middle of the night like most parents with a child in bed with them. You got their leg across your neck and their, you know, other legs in your side, and then 10 minutes later, they're shoving you out of bed. And once you get back in bed and move them to the other side, or you get up and you walk around, then you get backhanded and, you know,
right on. Yeah,
it's like a wrestling match all night long. But when we slept on the ground, we're both perfectly still. And 2 weeks ago, I've got her for my weekend. We go to bed and we stayed at my mom's house so she could visit my mom. And she says, I don't want to sleep in a bed. I want to sleep on the floor. And I says, why? And she said, because that's the closest I can get to the ground here, to Mother Earth. And I sleep better on the ground. And it didn't surprise me at all to hear her say that, because I'm the same way. When I lay on the ground, right on the earth, right on Mother Earth, the energy is different. I mean, it's more than just being grounded. There's a relaxation that just get kind of pulled down and melt in. I don't even move. I'll wake up next morning in the same position I was in when I went to sleep that night.
Wow.
I sleep that soundly when I hit the ground. And it's that connection, that energy. And the lower down you get to the ground, the more you can feel it. I mean, you can even reach down with your hand if you're even just the least bit aware and feel things change. And it's not just the air temperature.
No,
it's
not.
It's something more. And so, yeah, there it is. It's there. And it changes from place to place.
And it's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is powerful. You know, on this show, this is where we have the psychological meeting the spiritual. And obviously, Roy is our, quote, psych major, end quote. But he's also very intuitive. Obviously, if you guys listen to the show, you know that. And one of the things that I love to talk about is your perception with these earth energies, because you were raised, Roy, very, very close to the earth, mm-hmm. you know, as a part of the Lakota Nation. And you don't become a pipe carrier overnight. Nobody just says, hey, guess what? You're a pipe carrier. Here you go. I mean, that's quite a process. And it's quite a process of understanding the elements and where you're at with the earth.
Grad school was easier.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Grad school and college is much easier. Being raised, and it was interesting because a little bit about myself, my grandfather, you know, pretty much took charge of raising me. You know, it was back in the 60s and 70s and a single mom. And so every summer I spent in the mountains with him, same as I did with my daughter. And we lived out of the back of a 47 Ford truck, and I slept on the ground. And without ever using the term spirituality or talking about anything religious or spiritual or anything, he started teaching me. And it was really cool. And it was a wonderful experience that I don't think people get that experience anymore, to be raised as part of what's around you, part of the land around you, not the people around you, not the media that's around you or any of that. Being raised with what's growing and living around you. And that's what I was raised with. And even when it wasn't the summertime and I was up there, every weekend that I had that I wasn't in school, it's Wyoming, we get fall break, which coincides with hunting season.
Especially in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Hello.
So, boom, we're out there, whether it's doing that, cutting wood, things like that. These are all things that were connecting with nature. And to this day, that's where I feel the most comfortable. I would rather, I've got a bed now, I've got a house, I've got, you know, all the things that everybody else has. Where would I rather be? On the ground, in a tent, next to the river, and sleeping there. That's where I would rather be. And the only reason I'm not is because it's not sociably acceptable. Now, there were people that were actually upset with me because my daughter was out there camping out with me all summer long next to a river, and I have no idea why.
I don't either, because I saw on Facebook.
They were a minority.
I would imagine.
They were a minority, but they were like, what do you mean? There's no TV. She doesn't have any games. There's no other kids running. There's other kids. There's kids in the campground there that we were at. There's kids on the river. And we interacted with those people, and we shared stories with those people. And even if it was only for an hour, this is something really important about our relationships in life. Even if it was only for an hour going down the river in a raft, we bonded with those people. We became part of their lives and developed a relationship. And that relationship was built on trust for that 1 hour, for all of us. You know, them trusting me as their guide, me trusting them as the people that were going to get us there. And that was really important. And those relationships can last a minute with someone we meet on the street. We see someone drop their groceries and we help them pick that up. We have a nice trust relationship that started right there. It can just last a few minutes. Or that trust relationship can go on for a lifetime.
Yeah.
And it can last. But they're all relationships. When you use the term relationship, more often than not do we think about, you know, a relationship with our kids or our friends or our lover. That, you know, and usually if you say, I'm in a relationship or I had a relationship with someone, immediately everybody thinks it was an intimate romantic one.
Romantic, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I have relationships all day long, every day with people. And if I give the same attention to those relationships, even if it's just a phone call with someone, that I would a lover, those relationships come out good.
Absolutely, they do.
Yeah.
And I was noticing on Facebook, you're talking about being on the river with your daughter. Your daughter had made this lamp out of a stainless steel bowl, if I recall correctly, and a candle.
And a rock.
And she had tipped up this bowl like a reflector, like a radar dish, and put the candle in front of it and braced it up with a rock, I believe, mm-hmm. was how this was put together. And she had made this lantern out there. Now, obviously, for anybody listening who's not part of our part of the country up here, Montana, Wyoming is like a city state, first of all.
Yeah.
And if you're not from this part of the country, it's important to know that where Roy was located this summer is a beautiful space on the Stillwater River. And it's actually not that far out of town. You can zip into town in half an hour or so. So you're not way out in the boonies. We are not talking some child endangering, terrifying place to live. We're talking a beautiful campground on the Stillwater that you guys established. And when you're dealing with that kind of earth energy, and your daughter got a chance to actually sit with this earth energy, you're dealing with a lot of healing. Now, I happen to know for a fact, when you and I were doing 10 Star Records all over the place, and you have a teepee, we stayed in your teepee, and you gave me the cot, and you slept right on the ground. I mean, I think there was like a little teeny bamboo, I don't know, sticks or something you were sleeping on, who knows, but you slept on the ground. And so what would you tell people that are in larger metropolitan areas, like Los Angeles, and you've been all over the place, you've been in the service, you've been to San Francisco, and a number of large cities. What would you tell to our listeners, tell our listeners that are in major cities where everything's covered in concrete, what recommendation would you give them to attaching themselves to earth energy?
Be a freak. Go to your city park, lay down in an afternoon, look up at the sky, close your eyes. Doesn't matter if it's winter and you got to wear your coat and all that kind of stuff, or if it's summertime and warm out, or if you're down the southern part, and go out there just in the afternoon. And instead of sitting there and meditating and sitting up and something like that, lay down. Just lay down on your back. Put a blanket down, something like that. And if you're like me, grass makes me itch, so I got to put something underneath me or be wearing a long sleeve shirt. But just lay down there, close your eyes, and just fall backwards. Just fall right back into the arms of Mother Earth and relax. And it's not going to take you very long before, even with your eyes closed, you're going to become very aware of everything around you. That's a cool thing about cloud watching, is you lay back and you do that. And if you're cloud watching, before you realize it, people can't see you that you're there, because you're not putting out energy to tell them you're there. And you become instantly aware of everything around you, but yet you're not really focusing in on it. It's just all there, and you know it's there. It's just a way to experience it. I went out with one of our friends, Tammy, here last summer.
Oh, sure.
And she was having some troubles at work, and it had to deal with, you know, what she was seeing and how people were noticing her and whether she wanted to be noticed or not. And I said, well, we can change that to where you have a choice. And we went down to a wonderful place, Two Moon Park, and there's a spot where the trail goes through this meadow, and up on the side of the meadow, there's a hill. And we sat there, and I said, now just be aware of what's going on. We sat there talking for a little bit, and everybody, and we were far enough away, nobody could hear us. Sitting there, and as we watched the people walk by, they would look back and connect with us and see us. So I said, okay, now we're going to just sit and look for a little bit. And I started having her focus farther and farther out, and then I just had her not focus at all. She was just looking in that direction, but not focused on anything. Before you knew it, 45 minutes had passed. We thought it had only been 10 or 15. We were aware of everybody that walked by. Absolutely nobody looked over to see us, but we were aware that they were there. They were not aware that we were there. And that whole time frame of 45 minutes was like time stood still. It was like we were in a time warp. And then when we came back from that, and I asked her, now what did you experience? And we started looking around. The very next people that walked by looked over and seen us. They
Wow.
looked right at us. So it's just a matter of merging with your surroundings that are around and becoming part of it. And that's where you really become aware of, you know, your surroundings and your environment, is when you become part of your environment. We're very detached from our environment. You know, there's us and there's a building there. There's us and there's a tree over there. I mean, we think we're aware of it because we see it and we know it's there.
Right.
It's moving beyond that. It's not knowing it's there. It's being a part of the reality that it's there. You know, it's
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like that scene out of The Matrix where the kid bends a spoon and he says, it's not the spoons that bends, it's your perception.
Oh, Matrix. Greatest movie ever.
It's your reality that's bending. And it's really pretty easy to do. It's very easy to do. It's important to be connected with the earth to do that, because that's the one thing that is real. All the rest of this stuff we've created is an illusion. It's completely an illusion. The buildings, the personal material things that we have, all of that is an illusion. It comes, it goes. We have it, it disappears. You know,
absolutely.
It never stays in our existence. You know, even buildings, there may be some buildings that stay in your existence and mine for our lifetime. Maybe even for our kids and our grandkids, our great grandkids, they're gone.
Oh, yeah. Or if you're in Los Angeles, in 2 years, they're gone and
yeah.
something new is there.
Yeah.
It's just down and up and down and up. This concept that you're talking about, which is getting melded with the energies around you to literally turn invisible, if you will, on anybody's energy grid, is fascinating. It has been used by the military service. It's been used by ninjas. It's been used, but you've done it before when you and I have been out in a crowd and all of a sudden you're just not there and then you're there. And that's just, I'm like, geez, Roy, you did that disappear through a time slip thing that you do. I've done it in LA. I was out by a pool and I was out there when I wasn't supposed to be out there. And someone called security because they could hear me talking to whomever I was talking to. And in comes a security guard. And I blew out the candle that was on the table. And the person I was with, I said, just be the chair. And she was like, what? And she couldn't stop laughing, but she managed. I said, be the chair. And this guard walked all the way around the pool, walked right past us, shining a flashlight right at the table and just walked. I mean, not right at us, but right down below our feet, shined it around. We were easy to see. It wasn't that you couldn't see us. It wasn't pitch black outside. He did not feel us. And he walked right past us.
And he wanted to see something else. He wanted to see people in the pool. He wanted to see people standing up, moving around, things like that. And when that wasn't given to him and his expectation was not met, when his expectation did not get met, then he did not see what was there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we became, quote, invisible, end quote, because of his perception.
Mm-hmm.
And also the energy augmentation of just be the chair, be the chair. There's a ton of chairs out there. He's not looking for a chair. He's looking for a person.
Mm-hmm. It's fun to play with. I'm devious. I love playing with it.
It is fun. If you're listening out there, especially if you're a listener in a larger city or a city period, and you want to know how to reconnect with the earth in your area, and what would be the most effective way, or you've come up with a way that you want to share with our listeners, give us a call at area code 406-545-4496. Again, that's 406-545-4496, option one on the switchboard, and share with us your story of how you connected or how you would like to connect to the earth.
Mm-hmm. I would like to take it even one step farther and offer something else out there. If you've ever been in a situation where you felt like you could just disappear, it was so uncomfortable. You didn't want to be there. Share that with us if you can. Call in, share that with us, and let's talk about what was actually going on there and maybe how you can change that in the future.
Absolutely. 406-545-4496, option one. Call in with your story.
Yeah. You're getting good at that.
Oh, thank you. It's because I'm looking at the board. See, I'm just looking at the board, and it makes me sound like a real pro over here.
Oh, I thought you were looking at me.
I kind of am, but I'm kind of looking at those big letters behind you. And I am definitely looking at you. You know, I think that's actually brings up a really interesting topic. I thought you were looking at me. And you just said, have you ever gone into a room and felt completely invisible? Or have you gone into a room and felt hyper visible? I've had that happen where you're just walking down the street and there's a hyper visibility because either I was highly outputting that day for whatever reason and then got done with what I was outputting and just went down the street and I'm still outputting. So, you know, geez, it's like I'm throwing paint on people's windshields. They're just like, what are you doing? So there's a balance to both.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling of people complain about the feeling of being invisible in a crowd. And what would you have to say to people about that?
That they're feeling invisible in the crowd?
That they're feeling invisible, yeah.
You know, it's okay to feel invisible in a crowd. Crowds do swallow people. That's a pretty normal reaction a lot of times. To not feel invisible in the crowd, you're going to have to put that energy out there to stand out. And just put it out there. Whether you're standing out or not, create it in your mind that you are. Believe that you are standing out. Project that you're standing out and that everybody can see you and everybody will. It's just going to, even if it's not on an energy or a spiritual level or anything like that, it's going to change the way you hold yourself.
Right.
It's going to change the way you move. And because in our communication, only 7% of it's verbal. The other 93% is nonverbal. It's visual cues that we pick up. It's things like that. And just by changing that attitude, you're going to change your cues and how you act, how you hold yourself, how you hold your hands, how you stand. It may only be a slight minuscule amount that you pull your shoulders back, that you lift your chin up a couple millimeters, that your lips separate a couple millimeters, that your eyes dilate a little bit. But the people who look at you, they're going to pick that up. We're hardwired for those things. You know, things like eye dilation, the shape of the lips, how people are holding their head. Those are all visual cues that tell us what the person is thinking, what their intentions are. And if anybody doesn't believe me, look into the eyes of someone you love and then look into them again when they're feeling upset. And look into them when they're mad at you.
Wah, wah.
Or when you've just given them something beautiful, roses or a cake or something like that. And be aware of what you're looking at when you do that. How their face changes, how it flushes. These are involuntary things for the most part, but they don't have to be involuntary. We can create them on our own.
And I love the fact that here we're talking about connection to the earth. We're talking about connection to each other. We're talking about how to access the earth. We are talking about how to access one another. Mm-hmm. So we have this wonderful varied topic palette tonight. And my clients this week, it's a very heavy week as we roll into Mercury retrograde, which is October 4th. And of course, Mercury retrograde is issues from the past, people from the past, technological hiccups and terrible things that happen. You know, as I look at our engineer who's actually outstanding over there and handling everything tonight. So, I mean, it's about electronics and communication and past issues. And a lot of my clients this week have had deep, deep emotionality as we're rolling into revisiting the issues of the past. I have found that living here in Montana is a much different experience for me spiritually than living, say, in Los Angeles. Now, Los Angeles is a very highly energized place, a lot of spiritual good and bad, a lot of dark there as well as light. And it's a very heavy energy in LA. At the same time, you go to the beach, it's a very light energy. Here, the fall energies that are changing, and as we roll into this Mercury retrograde time frame, which is October 4th through the 23rd, everybody, so mark it on your calendars, people are really getting in touch with deep emotionality that is painful that they have to process. And I have found being in Montana here, it's easier for me to connect with the ground. Even in my residence, I can feel the ground here because the preoccupation with domination of the ground here is not so huge. And it enables me to let go of anything that I have that's deep or heavy or dark. I'll go outside and sit on the steps sometimes and just look at the clouds. And like you said, I connect with the sky. I do love the earth. I like to sit on big rocks. I like the rim rocks here, which is a set of sandstone cliffs up north. It was a beachfront at one time, about, you know, several million years ago. And so we go to Rimrock Beach and sit up on these cliffs. But for me, it's about connecting with the sky as well.
I think there's some, in having that knowledge that you just gave, there's another aspect to look at that too, as far as connecting in the sky is very, very important in this. We're coming into a time where all this is going on with the Mercury retrograde and everything. You described it really well. There's, at the end of that, there's a shift that happens as well. And that is the rising and setting of the sun, less daylight hours, people being indoors more, and the whole thing of seasonal affective depression. So coming out of this chaos and these emotions and everything, I just want to mention that as a, you know, a heads up to people coming out of that, don't get stuck in it, because the less daylight, the more time you spend inside, all that kind of stuff can definitely feed that seasonal affective depression. Get outside. Spend some time in sunlight. In the wintertime, we tend to not spend so much time in sunlight. Get outside and be out there in it. Go build a snowman with your kids. Go do something. Go play in the snow. Go for a walk. It doesn't matter what it is. Get that. Buy one of the little lamps from Costco for $40 that does the broad spectrum sunlight. I think that's about what they cost. Put that in your house and, you know, just leave it on. Even if you're the kind of person that sits there and watch TV, you know what? That's your new table lamp. Go buy one. you know, put it next to you on the couch there so that you're getting that sunlight and that light. Because after coming out of something like that, that causes these emotions, looking at the past and the chaos and everything, it can be really easy to get stuck in it for the rest of the winter until springtime.
And that is tough. If you're a northern culture, now down, if you're down listening in Los Angeles, down there, when I was living down there, it, in the heart of winter, it would get dark at 7 o'clock. And here in Montana, at the heart of winter, it gets dark at 3 p.m., you know, because we're so far up north. And I have been noticing in my clients as well, dramatic drops in vitamin D. I can feel that in them. It's the oddest thing to feel that in people. So if you are feeling like you're getting a little blue, up your vitamin D content. You can buy it at a health food store, at a grocery store. When it becomes darker here, I will find that I start taking about 5,000 milligrams of vitamin D just to keep myself up, especially having come from 11 years in Los Angeles, which is a sun-heavy culture down there, very sun-heavy.
Yeah, and it affects things like your serotonin production and things like that as well. And you just need exposure to that light. That's all it is.
Absolutely. My Northwesty friends, our friends out in the Pacific Northwest, Roy.
I would die there.
I would die there.
It's an interesting area, though. A very interesting area. That feeling that, you know, in this part of the country where the land is so raw, so new, and so virgin, you got to get down with your hand and reach down there. And it can start anywhere from about a foot to 6 inches. You'll start feeling it to get down into that area where the energy, you can feel it. In the Pacific Northwest, it varies from about 3 feet to 6 feet.
Oh, yeah.
It's so old. It's ancient. And there's so much growth and so much decay and just recycling. And I don't mean decay in a bad way. Things are just recycled so much there. And there's so much history to it. It's a very, very different place. In fact, there's been times that I've been out there that I've been so grounded that it was hard to actually get going and do things. And then add to that the fog and the rain.
And no
lack
sun.
Of sunlight.
And no sun. And we have dear, dear friends out in the Pacific Northwest. As a matter of fact, the partner label to Tin Star Records, Maurice the Fish Records, is out there in Tacoma. And the funny thing about that is that I go out there a lot. My family's out there. And one of the things that I have noted is that in the Pacific Northwest, it is very heavy. There's a lot of geomagnetic energy there too, a lot of electromagnetic energy. And for me, I'm very sensitive to EMF. I love it. It's beautiful. I have family out there. I have fun out there. Over long periods of time, it's a heavy energy for me. It's too heavy because it is so intense. And as you stated, there's all that water also. And water is a huge electromagnetic semiconductor. Plus, you got all those clouds. And I call them my Northwesties. My friend Kristen, who played, of course, in Pope Jane, was a drummer. She lives out there and she loves it. She's a Northwestie. She's from that area. And I'll tell her all the time. I said, you know, you got moss growing under your feet. You have moss growing in your armpits. Moss is part of your life. Too much sun and you cry. And she's like, that's absolutely right. I'm a Northwestie. I like my moss. So it's interesting. People's bodies adjust accordingly to no matter what part of the earth that you're in. And Seattle's a hoot. I love it out there. It's just, I can't do it over long periods of time because of the lack of sunlight.
Well, and you're not from that area.
No, I'm from here.
You're from here. And it was even a challenge for me being down. I spent a couple of years down in Utah, in central Utah. And just that little bit was enough of a change that being there for 2 years solid, and it was interesting because that whole 2 years I got to live outdoors, sleeping on the ground the entire time. And so I had to adjust to sunrise and sunset. I didn't have a watch. We didn't have time. Everything was done around when the sun rises and when the sun sets, and we just kind of had to know. But how much that changed me, having more sunlight, being outside, I never stopped. I didn't have to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Well, because you always had sun, you guys. Yeah. This is, of course, The Soul. I am Danielle Agnew with my wonderful co-host, Roy Pack. We are talking about earth energies, how not to get sucked down during seasonal times. We're coming into winter, coming into fall. Stick around. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, Danielle Agnew here. Some people call me a psychic, others a medium, but at the end of the day, I'm just a person who works with my spiritual abilities with the intention of helping people. Reputable psychics are here to help you, not to convince you that you need them. If you find yourself too dependent on consulting a psychic for answers, it's time to take a step back. No one else but you holds the power to change your life, so trust yourself. For more information on how spiritual abilities work in our everyday life, visit the facts page on my website at danielleagnew-advisor.com.
I never believed in ghosts. I always kind of wondered, oh, there's got to be some explanation, you know, until now.
Recent Gallup polls show that 90% of Americans have either experienced some paranormal activity or believe it exists.
You have to be very careful on what you're tampering with.
Their shadow passed between the boards and the window. Did you see that?
Fear grabs us all.
Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting. Available on DVD at montgomeryhousehaunting.com.
Hey guys, Danielle Agnew here, inviting you to uncover secrets of the spiritual world in exquisite and disturbing detail through my eyes with my book, True Tales of the Truly Weird, Real Paranormal Accounts from a Real Psychic. From ghosts, demons, extraterrestrials, kachinas, elementals, to people who even cannibalize another person's liver, True Tales of the Truly Weird is an expose on what's really lurking beyond. Are you ready for the truth? Grab your hard copy or Kindle version today at Amazon.com. Also available for Nook and iBook.
There's a darkness.
This place hadn't been touched for years, and it made me feel terrified.
I don't like that place.
Bring it on.
Evil is the opposite of light and of God. And I think that that can take on a lot of different forms.
Whatever you are, I know what you are.
The place was boarded up.
Fear grabs us all.
Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting, a Danielle Agnew film. Available on DVD at montgomeryhousehaunting.com.
At SoulSync Body Work in downtown Billings, we're here to unlock your deepest relaxation potential with a combination treatment. Two practitioners at once for the price of one. Licensed massage therapist and Celtic tonal healer Marsha Reichert bathes you in the energy of hot stone massage and vocal tones, while holistic reflexologist Craig Harris relieves the tension in your day with a relaxing foot rub. Call SoulSync Body Work for your appointment today at 281-0135. Or visit soulsyncbodywork.com.
At Rendell Marketing, we understand that your career and your projects are your life. We offer affordable monthly packages to drive traffic to your social media pages, boosting your Twitter followers, Facebook likes, and YouTube views in large numbers. Large numbers play a large part in getting you in front of the people who want what you have to offer. Visit us today at RenvilleMarketing.com. That's R-E-N, V as in Victor, I-L-L-E, marketing.com.
Hey, everybody. We're back. I'm psychic medium Danielle Agnew, along with my fabulous co-host, Roy Pack, the psych major. We are here on The Soul, where the spiritual meets the psychological, and we're talking all about what happens in this time of year, not only with seasonal affective disorder, but how to reconnect with the earth if you are living in an urban area and finding that you're having difficulty connecting with the earth, what to do. We're talking about if you're feeling invisible in a crowd, how to attain either visibility or invisibility, depending on what you're feeling with, dealing with, and how you're feeling. And we're talking about Mercury retrograde, which is our upcoming from October 4th to October 23rd. Which this, by the way, Roy, our Mercury retrograde for this actual transpiration of retrograde, the energy signature that's going to be predominant is going to be misunderstanding. So I'm highly encouraging everybody to not jump to conclusions. Well, you shouldn't jump to conclusions anyway, because if you assume, it makes an ass out of you and me. But I mean, really, it's about misunderstandings. Make sure this Mercury retrograde, if someone says something to you and you take it incorrectly, don't just get defensive and blow a hole through them with a cannon of anger. Ask them, you know, now, did you mean A or did you mean B? Because misunderstandings is going to be the earmarker for this retrograde period.
Oh, and especially when you're doing it through social media. I mean, that's the most wonderful tool in the world for ideas to be misconstrued and people's emotions to be misunderstood. And
oh, God, yes.
You know, I mean, it's just, it's horrible. And I've already been a victim of that today. I was actually giving someone a compliment and trying to help them along with something, and they totally took it the wrong way.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just kind of had to sit back and say, no, don't take, this wasn't about you.
Yeah.
It wasn't personal. But yeah, that's, I always just kind of try to step back. Yeah. Jumping to conclusions, that's a horrible way to get your exercise. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? That really sucks.
Yeah, you spend all day jumping to conclusions. Go do jumping jacks instead. You'll get more out of it.
My Lord. That is very true. Guys, you know, of course, here on The Soul, we are a caller-driven show. We do love to talk to you, hear your thoughts on anything. Do you suffer from seasonal affective disorder? Do you have any tips or tricks that you have learned that help you with that? Or you just want to talk about what's been going on? Why do you feel invisible? Why do you not feel invisible? Give us a call here at the mtradio.net studios. That's 406-545-4496. Again, that is option one on the switchboard. That's 406-545-4496, option one.
Yeah, where are they at tonight? We had lots of callers last week.
I know. You know what's interesting? We're coming up on that retrograde shadow period.
Yep.
People are very introspective. Mm-hmm. People start going into their shell. People have been deeply emotional. I could feel tons of listeners listening to the last segment on Sight Unseen with Marcia Reichert and just very interested in what was being said. So nobody called. And I think people are doing that tonight. They're listening. And people have felt very raw, Roy. They felt very vulnerable and raw lately. Mm-hmm. And people are seeking new life paths right now. They are experiencing this fall ether that's going to be turned into winter here pretty soon. And that fall ether is opening people to stasis. The earth is going back. It's dying. Everything's dying back into the earth. And people are really extra sensitive now. What advice would you give to people as a Lakota pipe carrier, as someone who is tuned into the earth energies? What advice, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Marcia, would you give to people right now who are struggling with connecting to the earth? Not just how to do it like in a park, but what advice would you give to people who are struggling on how to connect, period?
Back to my, I never give advice.
That's true.
I'm going to make a suggestion for consideration and take it back down, you know, from an anthropological standpoint. And if you look at Aboriginal cultures throughout time and even the ones that exist today, how they change with the changing of the seasons. Okay. We're coming into a time of the season where we've harvested everything. We've got our stores. Now we're going to change the way we eat. We're going to be looking at eating things more that, you know, our four-footed furry friends, okay? There isn't any vegetables growing. It's going to be harder to fish because everything's frozen over. So what we've saved up from the summer, from our harvest, and what we can kill and hunt is what we're going to eat. Now, there's some things about that. The highest source of B12 you're going to get is from red meat. So your wild game that you're out there hunting is where you're going to get B12. B12 is one of the things that gives us energy. It also helps us sleep, helps us dream, things like that. So if you look at those kinds of things, how would life change? How would you change things throughout the winter if you were in an Aboriginal culture versus how you're doing it now? And take that into consideration with what you're doing, what you're eating, what your body needs, and then adapt to this imaginary world we've created with cars and buildings and TVs and stuff and say, okay, I have these needs that have to be met. These are the needs that I've had since the dawn of time. These are the things that have to go into my body, and yes, my body is going to want to shut down. The days are shorter, you know, and nighttime is going to be spent quiet around the fire, in the lodge, in the cave, whatever you have in that area that you're in, thatched hut, doesn't matter. That's the way they're going to be spent. They're going to be spent talking with people and communicating. So get out and do things like that. You know, go to the dinner party. Don't go out to eat. Go someplace where people are gathering as a group instead and do that. Invite people over to your house. Become involved with other people on a personal level doing those things. And do that in your evenings. Hey, evening starts here at 4:00. I mean, the sun's down by 5. So
that's true.
You know, you don't have to go all night long. Everybody can say goodbye at 8 or 9 o'clock and you're ready for bed. So just adapt and work within what our bodies are expecting and have expected throughout time to what's actually going on around us here that we don't have any control over. Yes, we have to go to a 9-to-5 job. So for some people, it's longer. Yes, we have to go buy buy our food and brave the grocery store. God forbid. I can't. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, things Costco. Like that. Ugh. Oh, it, Costco is an experience for me.
God.
It's a never-ending source of entertainment.
Oh, yeah. I had a Costco experience last week that literally left me emotionally exhausted. I went home and felt like somebody sucked my soul out of my back. I literally was that tired, and I couldn't really figure out why. And I was standing in the checkout, and I said to my fiance, I said, you know, I figured it out. This is the embodiment of desperation and excess. I have to buy as much as I can, as much as I can, as fast as I can, and get it out of here. Now, granted, I was buying a lot of stuff, people. So I was part of that desperation and excess in that moment. However, it was exhausting, Roy. I was exhausted.
But if you look at that another way, you look at a good share of the shoppers that go to this Costco here in Billings, Montana, are from Wyoming. And being from Wyoming and doing that myself, okay, now people in Big City be like, you drove 130 miles to go grocery shopping. You know, it took me an hour and 45 minutes. How long does it take you to get across Chicago to go grocery shopping? An hour and 45 minutes, okay? So don't give me a hard time about driving that far. And I probably use less gas. So, but I come up once every 3 months or 4 months, or sometimes only once every 6 months. I would come up in the fall this time of year, and it was just like a hunter-gatherer. I go in and I get all the basic essentials I'm going to need for the entire winter. Get all my pastas, get all my flour, my sugars, things like that, buy it in bulk, and I've got everything I need to get me clear through the next summer. And it's my harvest. I mean, that was the way I had to do it. That was my harvest. You know what? I didn't have to go grocery shopping very much because I just don't like doing that. I don't like spending money.
I don't like being in the grocery store. Isn't that weird? Yeah. I don't know why. I will go shopping for boots. I will go shopping for belts or clothes.
Oh my God, you and boot shopping? Oh no. We're not even going to go there. I got a great little story for people that kind of ties into how to survive this Mercury retrograde. And you know me, I love Taoist and Buddhist stories.
Absolutely.
So here's a great one. These two monks that are sworn to never touch a woman are walking down a trail, and they come to a spot in the path where it had been washed out by a stream that popped up after a rainstorm. And it was this kind of raging water, and it was pretty wide and it was pretty deep. And there was this woman standing there at the edge, obviously wondering how she was going to get across. And the one monk picks her up and carries her across and puts her down. And they're not supposed to touch women, period. I mean, taboo. No, no. The next day, they're walking down the trail, and this other monk is really frustrated by it. And finally, he asks him, he says, Why did you pick up that woman? We're not supposed to touch women. Someone else could have done it. She could have found another way across. She could have gone across on her own. But you picked her up. You broke our vows and you picked her up. And the monk turned around and looked at him. Now, pay attention, people. The other monk that carried her across the river turned around and looked at him and says, you know what? I put her down on the other side of the stream. Why are you still carrying her?
Whoa. Ooh. Goosebumps.
So wow. when someone jumps to a conclusion with you or makes an assumption or you catch yourself making an assumption, you know what? You don't have to carry it. You can put it down on the other side of the stream when that passes, and you don't have to carry it with you.
That was amazing. I love that stuff. You always have those, like these cool stories and things. It's awesome. It's very true. It's very, very true. I've had a significant amount of clients lately who have struggled deeply with drama and holding on to things and everything that's coming up, issues with this retrograde, issues from the past, people from the past. I had a very interesting experience over the weekend. I was with someone who ran into someone from their past, and it was very emotional, yet there was no drama engaged because the person I was with decided that that was not a good idea to even have to revisit that portion of their life. And so onward they went, and it was a great evening and everybody was fine and nary did the two energies meet. Yet had she engaged the energy or the other person engaged the energy, that would have been one of the monks would have been carrying somebody for a lot of miles. So if people are listening to this, take that analogy that Roy just gave you and remember that we are responsible for what we want to engage, spiritually speaking. Our angels aren't going to intercede for us. Our inner id is not going to intercede for us. It's what we wish to do. And really, it's a behavioral issue. Sometimes it's drama is a hard behavior to break, or hanging on to something, or having a grudge. that's an old relationship that you've had with something. If you have a grudge against someone, that's a long time relationship with that energy signature that you've decided to keep alive in yourself. And that takes a lot of energy to feed that. That's a lot of Costco runs, by the way, you know, mm-hmm. to feed that energy of grudge. So it's important to note as we come into these retrogrades, if you're finding that things are coming up for you, evaluate them, look at them, feel them. If there's tears, let those tears come and release it. Put it down on the other side of the stream so you're not having to carry it for the rest of your walk.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people, God, I have a love-hate relationship with self-help books and the stuff that goes on with those. And
right.
it's kind of like, okay, in the first place, if you feel like you need a self-help book, it's not enough. You need more help than a self-help book. But on the other hand, it's nice to read one of those self-help books just to get an understanding of what's going on around you when you don't need help, because then you can clearly get it.
Yeah.
So, but there's all this talk about emotional baggage and the things you carry and all this kind of stuff. And that's really what that metaphor is about, is the baggage and the things that you carry. And everybody's spending a lifetime trying to get rid of the emotional baggage and the burden. You know what I found, at least for me, the easiest way to get rid of it is to tell myself a really great lie.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, do expand
and,
on that.
And keep lying to myself until I believe it. It's okay.
So what
it's
kind
all
of lie?
Okay.
I mean, what kind of lie are you? Oh, you're saying it's okay.
That's the lie. It's all okay. If I'm carrying that stuff, I don't believe that. I'm trying to tell myself it's okay, and I'm not believing it. But if enough people ask me and I keep saying it's okay, and I keep lying to myself that it's okay, it's like any other lie. Eventually, I'm going to believe it. Once I believe it's okay, guess what?
Then it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. It's okay. No, it's okay.
You have my permission to lie about things once in a while to yourself if they're good lies. It's okay. I'm all right.
I really am. Them.
Yeah. Eventually you're going to believe them.
And really, if you think about that from a spiritual perspective, if we keep saying it's fine, I'm fine, not in a denial sort of way, but in an acceptance of, okay, there's things that are going on that I can't change right now. How do I choose to be? I choose to be okay in the middle of something I can't change. Mm-hmm. Because all we have is our decision. Actually, all we have control over is how we respond to anything. That's it. Is our response. We have control. We don't even have control of our initial emotional response. We have control over how we choose to view any given situation.
And how we choose to define ourselves.
In that moment,
and yes. How we choose to define ourselves. And, you know, I say that what I just said to people and they scoff and they're like, lie to yourself. What do you mean? And all this and everything. And it reminds me back another, I love my stories here.
That's okay. I do too.
Eckhart Tolle. The life-changing, poignant moment of his life. I was watching an interview with Eckhart Tolle, and if you're not familiar with him, he's wrote numerous books on, you know, recreating yourself. And the man is really amazing. And I was watching an interview with him, and they asked him, well, what was the moment you decided to recreate yourself? And he had this one poignant moment. Whenever he was asked to describe himself, the first thing he said was, well, I suffer from depression. And then one morning he woke up and said, I'm going to quit telling myself that lie. And he just said, he looked in the mirror and he got so mad, so angry, so frustrated. I'm not going to describe myself to anybody ever again as being depressed, because every time I say that, I reaffirm the belief that I am. I'm going to say, I'm great. Life is wonderful. And he started doing that and his life completely changed. And he knew he was lying to himself at the moment, but he knew he had to become the person that he was lying about, a happy person, until he believed that. Once he believed that, he became one of the most famous authors for self-change of the new millennium. I mean, late 90s, you know, early 2000, last, you know, 10 years. He's a very well-known author worldwide. And that was it, right then and there. He quit saying, I am a depressed person, and started saying, I am okay. And he kept saying that, and he kept telling people that until he believed it. Once he believed it and it became part of who he was, an okay person, everything changed.
And he could just roll with it.
And he just rolled with it.
Keep in mind, people, what Roy is talking about from a spiritual perspective is also the premise of The Secret, which is affirmations. And we can go into affirmations and say, I'm not a proponent necessarily of using affirmations to get stuff, because I don't really think the universe is a catalog. But just as an example, if you want a better job, And you start saying as an affirmation, I love my job. My job is perfect for me and I'm happy in it. Now say you don't have the job that you're happy in and say that you don't have your perfect job yet. But you do what Roy is saying. You lie to yourself or you express the words in the spiritual realm that will bring back what you are expressing, the emotion of, I am excited about my job. I love my job. I'm excited about my life. I love my life. When we see these words, words have resonance. And Marcia Reichert and I were talking about this, the guest on last show on Sight Unseen. Words have resonance. And like attracts like in the spiritual universe. So does emotionality. If you start telling yourself over and over enough, I love my job. My job is amazing. I have a job that I enjoy so much. And you picture in your mind actually having the job that you would love until you actually have a physical, visceral, emotional response to this ideal. And, you know, to use Roy's words, if you got to lie to yourself until you believe it, and that's what affirmations are. There's something that a mantra is an affirmation, something that you repeat over and over and over until your body releases the identity or the ideal that you're in currently and assigns itself to the spiritual attribute of either the emotion or the words of what you're saying over and over again. This works. This is why Buddhist monks chant. This is why Catholics do the rosary. It gets the self out of the id of the self and into the spiritual resonance of what you're attempting to draw to you. So old Eckhart Tolle sits over there and says, I'm not depressed. I'm fine. I'm great. I have a happy life. He says it enough times. The resonance of the words, I'm fine. I'm great. I have a happy life, because he wished to believe it. Even if he didn't in that moment, he wished to believe it. Mm-hmm. That creates an energetic resonance, which brings to you happy life and good things. And so try it. And if it makes more sense in the early stages of this affirmation process spiritually to plug in what Roy just said and just say, I'm lying to myself right now, but that's okay. I'm going to keep doing it till I believe it. Mm-hmm. That is an affirmation.
Yeah, it is. And I would even take that one step farther and open more doors. I'm going to have a better job. That leaves two doors open. One, your job that you've got is going to get better. Or two, you're going to get ready and see the opportunity for a better one that comes along. It leaves both those doors open for either one to happen. You know, either one of those can happen. And it comes down to play God. Go ahead, play God. We're given the power of creation. We can create life. Play God. Create your life the way you want to create it. You know, if we couldn't create life and we weren't given the power of creation, guess what? We wouldn't be here. There wouldn't be any babies. We create life. That's what we were put here for. And create it how you want it. Go ahead. Play God a little bit. It's all right.
And create your emotional response. Your emotional response mm-hmm. calls in spiritual response, which calls in action. And that's one of the things in the forums that I teach that's really important for people to get their heads around, because people will have a difficult time believing, I have a job I love. No, I don't. I work at the blah, blah, and I hate it. Okay, well, but if you sit down and you picture your perfect job and you say, I'm going to get a job or I have a job, and you allow yourself that I love, and you allow yourself to experience the emotional reaction of how would you feel if you're listening right now and you don't like your job? I want you to do an experiment with me, okay? I want you to just close your eyes and really truly let yourself feel what it would feel like to have your dream job. Okay. If that's being a rock star in front of thousands of people, if that's being the president of the United States, if that's running the company that you're currently at, if that is skinning potatoes at a local diner, whatever your dream job is, just allow yourself to feel that, and you'll feel it in your chest first, and your chest will seize up a little because that's a heart chakra, not wanting to give up the disappointment of the thing you don't have, and it will release, and you will feel that into the sacral area. That's right where your rib cage meets, and that's the anxiety area of, oh my God, I could have this, but well, wait, I'm really excited. I have butterflies. Really, imagine your dream job. No, you have it. You have it. Not that you don't have it. Imagine you have it. You're starting tomorrow. You're starting your job tomorrow. How does it feel that you are starting that job you always wanted tomorrow? How does that feel? How does that feel? Are you nervous? Are you excited? Are you afraid you won't be able to do it? How does it feel? Now, take a picture emotionally of that feeling tone. That feeling tone just called to the universe the job that you are seeking. Like attracts like in the spiritual universe, and universe reacts spiritually off of emotionality first. So if you're sitting there and all you're doing all day is hating your life and thinking, oh, this sucks, and I hate this, and I hate this, and you feel that rottenness all the time, you are drawing to you things that will create rotten feelings. And yes, it is hard to play imaginary whatever, and oh, look at my nice job I have when I really have this sloggy job every day. But listen to what Roy said. We create our reality. We choose our reality. We don't choose what other people thrust upon us. We choose how we react to it. So when you are laying there, if you have to, as Roy would put it, lie to yourself, or as I would put it, create that spiritual feeling of emotion and hang on to it, whatever you got to do to get your head or your heart on board, one of the two has to get on board first. Emotionality usually trumps, and the head will get right behind that emotionality and back it up.
And I think there's a couple of really good ways that if someone wants to explore that further and go a little deeper in it, is that when they're feeling something or they have a feeling that they just have, is to figure out what's causing it, where it's from, because we really can't control how we feel. But it's going back, and this is a fill in the blanks. I feel blank. There's your emotion. When, boom, there's the action. I feel this way because I think that blank is why the action is connected to the emotion. Just that right there. I feel when I feel this way because I think, and putting those together will give a person a perspective of why they're feeling what they're feeling. Now, there's some hidden things out there too. And this is one of my favorite things to bash on: media, TV, stuff like that. No matter what social class you're in, there's programming that's geared towards you telling you that you don't have enough because you don't live like or look like what's on the TV. Don't believe that lie. That's a lie. You don't have to believe it at all. Ignore it. In fact, I'd be really happy if you took your TV out into the hills somewhere, and if you don't want to shoot it, I'll bring a gun. I'll shoot it. It's fun.
You are from Wyoming,
I'm from
my
Wyoming.
Friend.
I'll shoot your TV for you. We can go out in the hills and we can have a good time with it. I'll teach you how to shoot your TV.
I would like to learn to shoot a TV. I need to learn. I'm living in Montana now. I need to learn to shoot a gun responsibly. So, yeah.
Good gun control means using both hands and hitting your target.
Yes. And not being afraid to pick the gun up. That's me. I'm like, it's just very high projectiles that poke holes in people. I don't know what to do with this pokey stick with the bang bang at the end. I don't know. Yeah. Now that's very good advice, you guys. You know, you can, of course, listen to Archives of the Soul and Sight Unseen as well. If you go to montanaradio.net, there's a ton of fantastic programming at mtradio.net. And you have the opportunity to download all of this, including Roy's show, The Earthship, which is on Thursdays. Roy, when is that live?
It's on Thursdays at 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. And we talk to artists from local artists that come into the studio, regional artists, national artists from around the world. And we just talk about the music and share that with people and share the love and the aspirations and the dreams. And
it's fantastic. Yeah, it's a fantastic show. I've been on it. It's fun. Earthship is really fun. And there's a million other terrific shows. Check it out. MTRadio.net. Really great conspiracy shows. And oh, it gets really good, you guys. I mean, go check it out. This is all original programming that is on the internet, reaching the world. We are on the front end of communication here. I love it. And I love also that at MTRadio.net, again, you can listen to these archives. If there's a particular show that you love, pass the link around to your friends, you guys. And this goes for other programming too. Everything is on the archives. So make sure that you check it out. And of course, Roy, where can people find you?
Where can people find me? They can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/anotherhuman. They can look up 10 Star Records and find me through there. I'm on LinkedIn as well, Roy Pack. You can find me on LinkedIn, or you can find me right here in the studio most of the time. And I just want to say one last thing for tonight. We love everybody out there. Thank you.
We do. We love everybody. And of course, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/DanielleAgnew.psychicmedium, or just Danielle Agnew, because one of those pages is filling up. You can find me also at 10 Star Records, although Roy tends to be over there a lot more than I do with Earthship, but you can find me there as well. And you can find me at Twitter at Danielle Agnew. Of course, please send an email. You can always send an email too to mtradio.net. Let them know what you're listening to. Let them know what you're enjoying. Guys, my name is Danielle Agnew, and this is my co-host,
Roy Pack.
Thank you very much. We are happy to be here every Wednesday from 8 to 9 o'clock on The Soul. Catch us next week. Have a great week.
Love you.